Brooklyn's Radio. Loving arts and entertainment.
Brooklyn's Radio Playhouse brings you a play from Upstage Surrey. And by the way, Upstage Surrey ask us to get some feedback regarding these regular offerings. Could you email any feedback to Upstage Theatre Company, figure 4, at gmail.com? That's Upstage Theatre Company, the figure 4, at gmail.com. And they do work hard, and all the feedback, good and otherwise, would be appreciated by this non-membership-funded local drama group. So tell them what you like, what you don't like, and what you'd like to hear more of.
Upstage Surrey presents Struth by Graham Large.
Ludmilla, welcome to the vicarage again. How nice to see you again after your start last week. At least you're familiar with the place now, and the house isn't a divine mystery to you anymore.
You are man of cloth, I see. But why you do that? You do my job. You pay me and you do my job. That is rancors. That is flipping rancors.
I think you mean bonkers, Ludmilla, for a future reference. No, I'm expecting a friend. And as you hadn't arrived, I thought I'd give the table a bit of a freshening up, as she'll be here in a minute. If you wouldn't mind perhaps starting upstairs today, just a one-off, so that my friend and I could have a coffee and a chat without the sound of the Hoover as our mood music, so to speak.
Last week, I start down here first, and up I do last. Why you change everything around now? Is it because you think I not do a good job last week?
Oh, no, Ludmilla. No, not at all. No, you gave me every satisfaction, every... yes. But I think a small change in routine can often keep the enthusiasm levels up in most situations I've found. So I'll just finish off what I started, and then everything will be a tickety-boo for when my guest arrives.
Tickety? So you sell ticket to friend to come here. So not real friend. Ah, you pay her for her services, no?
Oh no, she's, it's all free. I see what you did there, yes. But no, I'm doing a quick tidy-up before she comes. If you need help to carry the Hoover upstairs, I can offer my services.
No, please. That is my job. I'm strong and I carry Hoover up is what I do. I always carry Hoover.
I'm sorry, Ludmilla. I didn't mean to imply that your strength is somehow lacking or on the wane or anything remotely like that. On the contrary, I'm sure you're as robust as you ever were. Probably stronger, in fact, as the years have rolled by. Much stronger, I should think, yes.
Strong as old horse, you mean? An old naggy horse? Or old ox pulling cart?
Oh, no, 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 you're certainly not no kind of pack animal or beast or burden or anything like that. No, I wasn't suggesting anything of the sort. Absolutely not.
I not need shot in the head yet, then.
Oh, good grief, no. Not here, at any rate. No, I'd take you outside in the garden to do that. I wouldn't want bloodstains on the carpet.
Bloodstains? Not on carpet? Better kill me outside? I not understand your English jokes. My father shot by robbers outside house in Moldova. So very sad. I loved my father very much. So to say that about him is not polite to his remembering. That's not nice to say, that is. I hurt to my soul.
Oh, heavens, I really didn't mean to make reference to anything like that. I didn't know anything about your father's unfortunate demise.
Start thinking. I cannot work here anymore. You say you man of God, but you insult my father and making savage bastard men good guys. I go now and find work somewhere else where people not make jokes about my family and my dead father.
Oh, please, Ludmilla, I'm really sorry. It was just a joke in very poor taste. I can see that now with your father so uppermost in your thoughts. It was very stupid of me, and if I'd have known, I wouldn't have said it in 100 years. Honestly, not in 1,000. Believe me.
Making funny of family and dead father? Not nice.
No, it isn't. You're absolutely right. I don't know what came over me. Very poor taste. Yes, it was. Look, let's wipe slate clean and start again. I need help with the house. So please start downstairs, if that's what you'd like to do. Maybe in the back room, so I can have some time with my friend on our own. Is that all right? I'm really sorry that I offended you, and it certainly won't happen again. You have my word on that.
No, only joking. Father not joked at all. He fell down coal mine when he was drunken and broke head. He was horrible man with all his shitty bloody women. So good reading. Well, see? I can do English joke now, just like you. Ah, that was a good one, no?
Oh, was it? Yes, very good. Although perhaps a slightly lighter touch might have brought out the humour of the situation just a wee bit more. That obviously will come with time and her experience of life here in the English suburbs.
No, I go back room now to clean blood off carpet. Old horse, shoot in head.
She's here. Oh, must stay calm. Act normally. Normally. What's normal? Oh, for heaven's sake. Concentrate. Breathe. Ah, Bianca, how nice to see you. Please come in. Welcome to my humble abode. Please allow me to take your coat.
Oh, thanks ever so much for asking me, Vicar. Oh, it's really nice in here. Reminds me of my nan's old place. You haven't chucked out the chintz then?
No, the furniture belonged to the previous incumbent who lived here a long time, and it was his choice of wallpaper too. He was 92 when he retired, and I inherited his decorative style.
So you've grown accustomed to his lace then? I've grown accustomed to his lace. Da 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 da.
Oh, a lace, not face. Yes, how amusing. Oh, but please call me Roger. We'll have no standing on ceremony here. No names, no pack drill, as the old saying goes.
Holy, 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 the curtains are all holy. Lace curtains, see?
Yes, I got that reference. Thank you very much, Bianca. I see we're going to have an interesting and enjoyable time getting to know each other.
Well, thank you for asking me, Roger.
It's my honour, Bianca. After we met at Singles to Mingle last week, I thought it would be nicer to have our first meeting here in peace and quiet rather than a crowded place of public entertainment. I myself took the opportunity of visiting the Rose and Crown one lunchtime not so long ago at the request of one of my parishioners. And although one in my position must not be afraid of confronting the moneylenders in the temple, so to speak, it was an experience I'd prefer not to repeat. Humanity displayed in all its vivid variety is how I'd describe it. And the noise. I was quite hoarse when I finally emerged from its thunderous depths.
Horse? Did you ride it home then? Horse? Ride it home? The animal?
Oh, horse, yes. You really have an interesting way with words, Bianca. I can see that.
Yeah, it's nicer here. I can feel all its heavenly peace creeping over me. It's much better than going to that smelly old pub, especially that one. The barman's usually coked up to his eyeballs by this time of the evening. Well, so they tell me. Apparently he's well known for it.
Well, at least it's soft drinks he's opted for rather than alcohol, which can only be a good thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, much better. Anyway, I don't drink alcohol. Well, not after the sort of state my dad got into after he'd had a few. It put me off even trying it.
Your father drinks?
Yeah, shocking he was. Oh, and you know, Mum bore the brunt of it, trying to wake him up after he'd had a skinful one time and dislocating her kneecap. He was too drunk to drive her to the hospital and I had to take her on the bus on her shopping trolley. You should have heard the rude comments about her being found in the discount aisle and all that. A nightmare. Really embarrassing.
Oh, that sounds a very painful experience, Bianca. But the demon drink has acquired its name for a very good reason. In my book, it's to be avoided at all costs, as it can only lead to a decline of civilised standards and a life of personal misery. And as I think you'd agree with your experience of having to deal with your father, what became of him in the end, may I ask? Is he still extant?
Extinct? No, he's still here. Worse luck.
So in the circumstances, I'd prefer not to offer you anything too strong. Only one tea bag for you, then. Or would you prefer coffee? I won't suggest cocoa.
Yeah, much too early for that. No, a nice couple would suit me down to the ground. Milk, 2 sugars, please.
I boiled the kettle earlier in anticipation. Please make yourself comfortable. I'll be back in 2 shakes. One has to be strong to avoid all the temptations one is confronted with these days, hasn't one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a struggle. But I managed to rise above it, thanks to the example shown by my dear old mum in the way she coped with all the problems she faced in her life. I often think of her when I'm in a state and I can't seem to drag myself out of it. You know, when I'm going down my own rocky footpath leading to the true destination.
And where is that, could I ask?
My destination? Oh, the distant shore. Definitely the far distant shore. Mm-hmm.
The far distant shore? I assume you don't mean Clacton-on-Sea. But seriously, I can see that you are very much a spiritual person, Bianca. Are you a churchgoer, or is your deep thoughtfulness perhaps a personal affair conducted on a secular plane, then? If you don't mind me asking, that is. Please don't feel yourself under a microscope. I mean, the Spanish Inquisition hasn't been let loose in the home counties, as far as I'm aware.
You'd know them by their red caps, wouldn't you?
Red caps.
You know, in that film about the new Pope, hundreds of them wearing those little red caps.
Oh, surely you mean Catholic cardinals and not the Spanish Inquis... Oh, I'm sorry. You must think me completely devoid of humour in failing to pick up your subtle references to the parallels between the doctrine of those two religious movements, but whose levels of intolerance towards non-believers were poles apart.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. You got it in one, Roger.
Well, you are very astute in making that observation, and I apologise for being slow to acknowledge it. I'm a simple man, as you've probably discovered by now.
Thank goodness for that. I don't think I could cope with a complicated one. A man, I mean.
So, you must have a fairly comprehensive idea of my calling in life by now. But what do you do, if I may ask?
Well, books. I write books.
How exciting! A real novelist in our midst. Or is it biography? What genre do you specialise in? Fiction or perhaps historical novels? But to hazard a guess from our previous conversation, I'd plump for fiction with a leaning towards popular culture, using the argot of what you'd probably refer to as street life. Or have I got it all wrong and writing your technical car manuals is more your thing? Only joking. But I really would love to know what particular métier most attracts you.
Oh, no, I don't know anything about car engines and suspenders or whatever you call them. And all those oily rags and spanners and things, oh, they bring me out in a cold sweat. No, I'd have to keep washing my hands all the time. No, you're right. I prefer leaning towards the culture thing, you said. Oh, yeah, I definitely lean that way. No doubt about that.
I understand perfectly. You exist more in the ephemeral plane, where creativity controls the narrative. A wonderful skill you must be blessed with.
Well, I don't know about that, but I'm sure you could do that sort of thing if you tried. All those sermons you have to come up with every Sunday. Drive me mad it would, having to think of something new to say every week, you know, all about what we're getting up to and shouldn't be.
Yes, well, I'm not sure many of my sermons have much literary merit, really, being rather more like parables on life than any kind of art form. But I have to say, I'm positively green with envy at what writers like you do. Oh, I'm sorry about the noise. It's Ludmilla. She'll be going upstairs soon, I hope.
Ludmilla? Who's she?
Oh, my home help. It's her second visit here now, and she's very thorough. She's from Moldova.
Aren't they a bit expensive?
Well, yes, but I can justify it as it enables me to get on with my work without having to worry about the state of the house. I'm not the tidiest person in the world. So many thick papers and things pertaining to my work around the parish piling up around me.
Well, it's not that bad. I've definitely seen worse. I don't want to poke my nose in where it's not wanted. I thought there was another lady here. I saw her a couple of times going in, you know, some while ago.
No, you're not prying at all. Yes, that was my now ex-wife. Sadly, we parted company a year or so ago. A marriage, unfortunately, not made in heaven, as I'd hoped it would be.
Oh, dear. Sorry if it brings back bad memories. What happened then, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, it was the usual tale of infidelity on her part and lack of forgiveness on mine.
Oh, dear. Poor you.
Yes, it wasn't exactly a carnival while all that was going on. More of a funeral, really, for me at any rate. You see, I'm not the most exciting chap to have as a husband. I fully appreciate that. With church affairs and parish meetings and so on taking up much of my life, for her it must have been very dull. Very dull indeed. Even though I say so myself. Well, she settled down happily by all accounts with her new emiratum, and I'm left here in the house with dear old Ludmilla helping me along.
Oh, it's really sad. But I know exactly how it must be for you. Well, pretty much how it is for me since my rat of a husband decided I wasn't good enough for him and he wanted a newer model. Off he trotted with his little number, leaving me alone to fend for myself. A helpless woman without a friend to share my grief with. I'd spend my lonely evenings cutting up his shirts and stuffing his suits in bags to send to Oxfam. Help me forget, you see.
Really? How awful for you.
Yeah, he tripped me up at the first hurdle in the marriage game. I'm now one of those cat women you read about, with my dear old Tom. I bought him for company after it all happened. My comfort cat, I calls him. At least he won't run off with the first little pussy that comes sniffing round like someone I know. I made sure of that, you know. Cost me a fortune in vet fees, though.
Oh, yes. Would you excuse me for a moment? I forgot I'd had a rather intriguing box of homemade biscuits donated by a parishioner that I wanted to offer you. I won't be a moment.
How often do you come here doing this? How often do you come here? Do you come here every week? For f*** sake. Turn that f***ing thing off, for God's sake. It's doing my f***ing head in. Put a f***ing sock in it, can't you? For f***ing sake. Oh my God. Oh, flipping egg. I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to.
She stopped my work and swear at me. Just because too loud. How can I clean like you say? If shouted at like that using filthy words.
Oh, that's not like me at all. Now, I swear on my mother's life. If she was alive, I mean, which she's not. I didn't mean to shout, but that machine's really loud. It's louder than a normal one, isn't it? Sounds like a friggin' 747 taking off. Oh, I feel terrible now.
Oh, please don't upset yourself, Bianca. Stress can catch us unawares from time to time and cause us to exhibit attitudes which may appear somewhat offensive to the outside world. I'm sure a lot of other normally calm and otherwise mild-mannered people would have resorted to a similar forthright means of expression as yours in the circumstances.
Yeah, stress, yeah. Yeah, it must be because I'm stressed out with everything. You know, life in general getting me down. Oh, thanks ever so, Roger. You're a great comfort.
Please, think nothing of it. And please do have a biscuit. But in answer to your question, Ludmilla comes in once a week to keep me on the straight and narrow, dust-wise.
I do my best. That is all I can do. I not like when people shout at me and swear like that.
Yeah, I'm really sorry.
If women use filth words like that in my country, man slap face and sent her to cowshed. Not feed her for a week.
Well, I don't think we need to go that far, Ludmilla. Don't worry, Bianca. That hoover is very loud and can affect one's demeanour after a while. I found that too, Ludmilla. Would you mind choosing something quieter to continue your work with? A feather duster, maybe, so that this lady and I can have some moments together. I'd be really grateful. Thank you very much.
Oh, yes. I should be mouse, creeping round, not seen. After I finish, I go down my hole in the floor and nobody hear me. Is that what you want? Me to be a furry mouse, not bother anyone? I go now and be quiet, mouse.
Ludmilla, please. I didn't mean that. Please don't be... Oh. Funny, she's normally very amenable and unobtrusive. But that's her, and I'd like to know a bit more about you. And what makes you tick, Bianca?
Like a time bomb, you mean?
No. I'd like to know more about your writing and so on. So where do you get your ideas from?
Well, from anywhere, really. My dad used to call it picking up fag ends, you know, listening to what people are saying. Like now, actually. I mean, what's just happened?
I can see us as a comic scene in one of the more outrageous modern plays. Do you write plays, Bianca?
Plays? Nah, not really. I sort of stick to storytelling, you know, like, now who's that one? Agatha Christie. Yeah, that's her. Agatha Christie, back in the day.
Oh, yes. Dear Agatha. Or Joanna Trollope, perhaps. Do you like her method of interweaving present with past to bring out universal truths in her narratives?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm a big fan. She's certainly got away with words, that's for sure. I'd have changed my name, though, if I were her. For the book covers, I mean. It's a bit off-putting, if I was being honest. A name like that, you know. Trollop.
Trollop? But she was related to one of this country's greatest writers, Anthony Trollope. The Barsetshire Chronicles and the Palliser novels, you might remember, and a host of other great works. He is high on my personal reading list, I have to say. And Joanna is not far behind.
Yeah, but Trollope, I mean, calling someone that's a bit, you know, sexist. Well, that's what I think anyway. But I'll probably have a bash at them when I've finished writing the one I'm writing at the moment. It's taken up quite a bit of my time.
How thrilling it must be to be writing a novel. Do you work out the plot before you begin? Or do you let the narrative flow like a meandering stream, taking the story where it will?
Oh, both. Yeah, both ways are good.
And this one? What method have you used for it?
Method? Oh, I've gone with the meandering stream system for this one. It's a bit all over the place at the moment and I might have to build a dam for it, you know, to get it back on track, you see.
A dam? How amusing.
Oh, mind your language, Roger. Saying dam, you know.
Yes, well, what's it to be called, this novel of yours, if you don't mind telling me? As it's probably a bit hush-hush at the moment prior to publication, isn't it?
Yes, we're keeping it under our hats until... Yes, it's called the Meandering Stream. Yes, you hit on it straight away. Funny that.
Oh, Lamilla, come and say hello to our local novelist. She is in the middle of writing a book called The Meandering Stream. Isn't that exciting? Would you like to ask her any questions before you go? I hope that's all right, Bianca. I don't want to put you in an awkward position, but Ludmilla would probably love to improve her English by reading one of your books. Wouldn't you, Ludmilla?
How do you find time to write books?
Good question, Ludmilla. Writing must be a time-consuming profession, isn't it, Bianca?
Yeah, I'm at it from morning till night, bashing away. My fingers are so sore after a day's typing, I have to stick them in vinegar to harden them up again, you see. My nail polish gets wrecked, so it's wicked.
Oh, so you don't use a computer then, where you can cut and paste and chop and change really easily? You prefer the good old tried and tested iron Olivetti or Remington, do you? That's interesting. You must have to be extremely accurate when you start putting things on paper, I should think. And you have to keep carbon copies when you send your manuscripts off to the publishers in case they go astray.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've got drawers full of them.
You buy vinegar from cheap mart?
Pardon?
You buy vinegar from cheap mart to rub on fingers?
Yeah, maybe from there. I don't know.
I see you in cheap mart sometime.
You see me?
Yes. Behind cigarette counter. Sometime, check out.
Oh, I don't think Bianca would have the time with all her writing and so on.
And pulling things on shelves, yes. I see you often pushing big carts of things up aisles. Sometimes smoking fag outside in the rake. You leave big mess with your fag ends.
You need your eyes testing because you got the wrong person there.
And betting shop on weekend. I see you with Big Time Charlie, stand outside smoking with him and doing kissy kissy. What husband say about that? Not over moon, maybe?
No, I'm sure you're mistaken with that observation, Ludmilla.
Ask her then. But she lie about everything.
Ask her? Well, I'm not sure whether questioning someone about that sort of thing isn't rather impertinent. If I could put it like that.
I ask her then.
Well, no thank you, Ludmilla. I don't think that would be appropriate in the circumstances. Oh, very well then. I'm sorry to ask, but this is very awkward and I apologise in advance. But what happens to be your marital status, if it's not a rude question, Bianca?
Well, it's a bit of a long story. and I don't want to dig up old bones to chew at just at the moment, Roger, if you don't mind.
At our initial meeting, I assume because of the nature of the social gathering, singles to mingle, as it was termed, that you were a single lady. And of course, if you were in a marital relationship, it would have thrown a completely different light on the whole situation.
Yeah, well, it's been great having our little chinwag, Roger, but I've just seen the time and I've got to be somewhere else in a few minutes. So I've really got to fly.
Now, there you leave, kiddies, when you at horses with Charlie. In stables?
I've got to be off. They'll be expecting me at where I'm going. Really sorry.
A straw gets scratchy on bare bum.
Well, it's certainly been... It's been very illuminating, Bianca.
And as for you, you bloody old Moldovan muppet, go and f*** yourself.
Goodness me.
Do you call her?
Bianca, that's her name.
Bianca? No, she called Trixie. A good name for her. She's always pulling tricks.
Trixie? Are you sure? Is that a name?
Oh, for God's sake, Roger, open your friggin' eyes.
Ludmilla, what's going on? What's happening?
For crying out loud, Roger, that woman was trying to fleece you and you didn't see it, did you?
But you're my house cleaner, Ludmilla. Why have you changed? I don't understand it.
I'm not a bloody house cleaner. Look, I know that woman, and she's a complete fraud, trying to worm her way into your affections by pretending to be a writer.
Isn't she then?
A writer? She can hardly write her own name, for heaven's sake. She's been married 3 times, she's got numerous kids, and her current husband has chucked her out because of her drinking and general messing about with other men.
Well, I was initially taken in, I must admit. Although she did seem a bit hesitant about Joanna Trollope, I have to say. But I thought she was being absent-minded, like a lot of writers are. I mean, Roald Dahl was quite forgetful, and so were a lot of others I could name.
Roger, please, credit me with some common sense. I was at that singles to mingle night and saw old Trixie cozying up to you. I watched from the other side of the room and saw every move she made. I had time on my hands as there didn't seem anyone wanting to chat me up. Well, no one I had any interest in anyhow.
I can't believe this, Ludmilla.
Please, don't call me that any more, Roger. I'm Charlotte Taylor. Ludmilla's left the building.
But why go to all this charaderie, just to warn me about her?
I could see what she was up to and decided I'd expose her. That's why I applied for your cleaning job. And I've listened into everything she said. What a con merchant she is.
Well, you've taken an awful lot of trouble with the disguise. I mean, you look totally different now. A completely different person. And that accent, how did you manage it?
Simple. I act. I've been a member of the Kingstown's Players for years. So it was a piece of cake, really. Actually, I'm in a play opening next week. If you fancy a trip to the theatre.
Well, I don't know what to say. What's it called?
The Moldova with Love. Oh, it'll be great if you came.
I'm sure you'll be wonderful in it. My word, what a part you played just now. Dame Judy couldn't have done better. But why protect me particularly?
Because you're a good man, Roger. Not just because of the dog collar, but because you're kind and interested in people. And you bloody listen instead of sounding off all the time, like a lot of men do. And I'd hate to see someone like Trixie take advantage of you. At the singles night, I wanted to talk to you, but didn't manage it because she got in there first, and you were too polite to walk away. From what I've seen of you in the times I've been round here, you're exactly what I'm looking for in a man. And I want to be with you. There, I've exposed myself as a pushy woman who'll do anything to get what she wants. But it all makes sense to me. It would be a waste if we let this chance slip. So how about it, Roger? Do you want to give it a try? I'll be your starter for 10. What do you say?
Well, I know I'm a trifle unworldly. I've been told that before. But I can recognise goodness in someone quite quickly. And from what I've seen over the last week or two, well, I'm afraid you leave an awful lot to be desired.
You what?
How you duped me with your disguise was verging on the cruel, and you should know that impersonating someone else for personal gain is an offence punishable by law. It really was unforgivable of you to use your acting skills in that way, however justified you felt in exposing that lady's intentions to take advantage of me. So I'm going to have to reject your offer and resume my search for a new partner in my life. I'm really sorry, but that is how I feel. But I thank you for your interest.
I can't believe it. I rescued you from that vile woman, and now I'm the one who's in the wrong. I was only doing what any right-thinking person would have done to protect someone like you. You're being so unfair, Roger, so unfair.
Ta-da! Only joking. Sorry about that. Yes, it was a bit on the mean side, but I couldn't resist it in the circumstances. I know you're an actress, so I thought I'd join in the spirit of the thing, you know, with a bit of mock dialogue. You see, acting, well, that was never an option for me, although I think I could have made a reasonable fist of it given half the chance.
Lord, you don't know when to stop, do you? Stick to the church, Roger, as I don't think acting's your thing if you want to know the truth. Unless you're going to play a dim vicar, which you seem to have a talent for.
Dim vicar? I don't know whether that's being fair, Ludmilla, in the circumstances.
Anyway, to cut to the chase, what about it, Roger? Does my proposition hold any appeal for you, everything being considered, and the pros and cons weighed on the scales of logic and emotion? Oh, do you need another 6 months to think about it?
Oh, do I detect a trace of sarcasm there, Ludmilla?
Charlotte, how many times do I have to say it? My name's flipping Charlotte.
Sorry, point taken. Charlotte, anyway, of course I'd be delighted to take our acquaintance to the next level, wherever that may be. Although it's going to be a little while before I accustom myself to seeing you as anyone other than Ludmilla, my Moldovan cleaning lady. But I'm sure in time the illusion you created will fade and the real Charlotte will emerge, blinking into the light of day.
Roger, do you know you are a real ecclesiastical windbag? You really are. Dear God, your sermons must be so riveting, I'd be surprised if any of your congregation were still conscious by the end of them. You are boring and horrible men, and I push you downstairs so you break neck. And good reading to you. Now, are we going to get this thing together or not? And please, no long-winded beating about the bush in your usual style.
Well, I'm not sure that it isn't a trifle sudden, Ludmilla. Sorry, Charlotte. Or can I call you Charlie?
Crying out loud. No, you bloody can't.
After all, we've hardly had time to get to know each other, so...
Oh, for goodness sake, Vicar, take that sodding dog collar off and give me a flipping kiss. Oh, you're such bloody hard work.
Oh, well, that would be nice. But could I just say...
Put a sock in it, Roger, for God's sake. Oh, come here.
You are so beautiful. To me, you are so beautiful. To me,
you have been listening to Struth by Graham Large, directed by Sarah Robinson and edited by Colin Hansford, with Jean Anderson as Ludmilla, Mark Bradbury as Roger, and Sarah Edgar as Bianca. Music and sound effects courtesy of YouTube. Upstage Surrey, providing entertainment by local people for local people.
Are so beautiful to me. You are so beautiful to me. Can't you see?
Brooklyn's Radio. Loving arts and entertainment.